Namibia, and a warm welcome to Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station. Of course, you know there's a show where we keep you company, talk about life, talk about lessons that we ought to know and learn from, right? It's Saturday this time around from 1900 hours to 2100 hours. Of course, Life Lessons keeps you company. Now, on this Saturday, we're talking about something quite interesting that I think a lot of entrepreneurs will benefit from. Of course, last Saturday we talked about agriculture and perhaps those who want to venture into agriculture, and it wasn't exactly precisely planned that way, but today we're talking to entrepreneurs, and of course, I think a conversation that so many people have questions on and they just don't know where to get those answers or even where to ask, you know, or who to ask for that matter. So that's what we're dealing with this very evening. And I'm joined in studio by a wonderful lady who has written a wonderful book, and she's going to give you some insight into that book, right? And I think this is, wow, it's a big wow, because I mean, it's very rare that you find somebody wrote a book and then they will give you some sort of insight into the book so that you can now get to the book and read it up for yourself. And especially those entrepreneurs who are really keen on wanting to know wanting to thrive in their businesses, this is the topic for tonight. So do tell a friend to tell a friend to please tune into Life Lessons now. Remember, they can download the Eagle FM app or listen to us via the website, or perhaps get through our frequencies. Of course, if you're not getting through our frequencies, please do download the Eagle FM app. Now let's get right into it. Now we're talking about a lady who authored a wonderful book, How to Thrive Amid Rising Debt, What Financiers Expect. What am I talking about? I'm talking about Mathilde Ndeshimona Nambahu. Matthew? Where does Matthew fit in?
That's my husband.
Oh, okay. At least we gave the credit, you know.
Yes.
A very good evening to you, ma'am. It's a pleasure to have you with me in studio.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and to share this important conversation with the listeners and everybody.
First of all, thumbs up to putting down your thoughts into a book and your knowledge into a book. You know, when people tell me, like, maybe I have something and then they say, you should write the book. I'm like, nah, no, it's a whole lot of work. So thumbs up to you for that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I'm sure it was a lot of work, obviously, juggling here and doing and all that. But yeah, I know a friend of mine who's a good writer also. He should write a book. I hope he's listening. He should write a book.
Uh-huh. One thing about writing a book, it may take forever to actually conclude it.
Yeah.
But I think what's important is, you know, keep journaling, keep making those notes, keep going, have a mentor. To just bounce off your ideas, to see how far you went, what topics do you have, and so forth. Mm. Eventually, it will come to you that I think this is enough. I think we can go to the publisher now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting. And from what I've heard also, it's not too difficult for Namibians to write books and get them published. Maybe the finances, but yeah. But otherwise, it's not so much of a hustle as maybe we... of a handle as maybe we thought it is. What's your take on that?
Yeah, my view is probably similar to yours. It's not so much of a hassle to publish one at all. We luckily also have all different types of publishers in the country. Mm-hmm. You would find SMEs that would cater for entry, you know, smaller books and so forth. You would also find middle to bigger type of publishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the company that has been in business since the 1980s and the 1970s and so forth.
Yeah.
So there are plenty of publishers out there, and there is really enough support to support upcoming, you know, writers and so forth. So it's not a difficult task, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Let's get to understand the author of this wonderful book. Who is Mathilde Matthew? Where did she grow up? Where did she go primary school and high school? I want to know what you studied in high school.
I like how you say Mathilde Matthew. We're going to have this conversation at home because, wow.
Chocolate will be waiting for you at home.
Okay. Well, I was born and bred in the north of Namibia. Mm-hmm. That's really where everything happened. Parenting, early childhood development, everything. That's really what happened.
Yeah.
I did all my school there. High school, I was also in the north. So I partly did that there, and also I was privileged also to attend part of my high school in the US, in California.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, after that, my first degree at the University of Namibia, I did my banking and finance first degree there.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of other courses in between there. And then I think the last, qualification, which is your master's in development finance, philosophy in development finance, mm-hmm. with the University of Stellenbosch.
Huh.
Yes. So that's about with regards to education. Okay. Although there are still a couple of things in the pipeline.
Yeah. Am I allowed to ask about California though?
Can we park that conversation for the next interview?
Yes, please. You need to be.
But
back.
I can tell you one thing. Mm-hmm. It was quite an interesting exposure. It was quite an interesting environment, mm-hmm. from Namibia, of course, if you were to compare the two, in terms of the school system, in terms of livelihood.
Mm.
Yeah. But I was also quite young by then, so I only know what was in front of me by then.
So far, I know three people who went to do high school in the U.S.
Yes.
And those... You're not being the third.
Okay.
Yeah. You probably know them. I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
Who they are.
Yeah.
It's interesting to know that there are such possibilities. Wait, I can go to high school in the US? Well, my son can go to, probably depending on their grades and how they are performing and all that. But
trust me, there are a lot of opportunities out there in Namibia. Mm-hmm. Exchange student programs and so forth, scholarships that comes from sport or through sport.
Yeah.
Those that come through government or in the government, there's definitely a lot of opportunities.
I think I need to get someone on a just specifically talk about that. So Namibians know that, hey, that dream that you've been desiring, it can actually be achieved.
Right.
But yeah, nice. Okay, so you did your master's in development and finance?
Development finance, yeah.
Development
finance, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, with Stellenbosch University.
Mm, okay.
Yes.
And how was that?
It was quite all right. It was aligned or still aligned with, what I've been doing, what I have initially studied and what I've been working, ever since, you know, my very first job, which was a loan officer. So I've been in this business for a while. So development finance would really teach you about how to convert or transform social challenges into make them economic. Yeah, so in Africa, it's really a course designed and suited for the African environment, the African ecosystem. So in Africa, we have a lot of challenges that do not necessarily have to remain social challenges.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, schools, hospitals, infrastructure in terms of roads, rails, and electricity, rural electrification, water, sanitation, all that. So we have quite a lot of challenges, as you will agree. But what development finance wants to do or wants to achieve is that how do you then make sure that you convert those problems into solution, but not just solution, but solution that comes with finance.
Oh.
Yes. So that's really the goal.
Nice.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes.
I like that. Okay.
So that's really, it's indeed aligned with even what I do now on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite an interesting course. Mm-hmm. And I think I've seen it now, the University of Namibia, and I think there's also a bit of something with that NAST.
Okay.
That is coming up. I mean, that goes to show that just how important and relevant the course is in our space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. Nice. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And I wonder if perhaps those who have probably done, not necessarily maybe accounting and finance or economist, if they can also take it up, because then it cuts through so many things. I mean, through so many courses, I think it's that intertwined, and maybe, even for media personnel, you never know. Especially those who thrive in economic related aspects. Like I have a colleague of mine who did political science at the Namibia University of Science.
Mix up the two.
At UNAM. Let's say like that. So, and right now he's thriving when it comes to economic aspects. So maybe, for instance, now at Stellenbosch, do you think it's something that they will accept him if he wants to do?
Certainly. You know, I've know a few colleagues or a few people that have done engineering, law, quantity surveyor, you know, technical courses that have done development finance. You see those, I mean, let's take engineering, for example, with development finance. They marry each other because you now have somebody who knows how to design, how to cost, how to plan for a project, for example. But initially, the money parts, the costing parts, the projection parts, and the modeling part was missing. So with development finance, you can then marry the two, and that, you know, will make you
thrive better at your work.
Imagine.
Let's get into this interesting book, okay, and talk about how an entrepreneur, what they actually need to know. And I know for a fact that a lot of entrepreneurs, I don't know what I would say, make those mistakes. And because to them at that moment, they are doing what they think is necessary. Probably they feel like they're doing their best when trying to get a loan. And most of them also don't understand maybe the aspect of collateral and stuff like that. So yeah, first, what was on your mind, or what was your aim, or what is the aim of writing this book? How to thrive amid rising debt.
Okay. Just I'll tell you, before I get to your very question, I've been trying to write, to conclude that guide for a while, that book. And the reason for that is really my years of experience, in the investment analysis space for a while. So I've been seeing, and I've done, you know, private work, employed by different institutions and so forth, whether it's SME or large scale businesses, corporate, you name it. I've seen very good, solid businesses, you know, or concepts that are submitted. But and then you, when you get the submission, it's substandard. You know, it lacks so much. It, in me, you know, a financier, somebody, even if it's just on a personal capacity, if you, say, Matilda, give me 100,000, I mean, not like I have 100,000, but give me 100,000. Obviously, I want to know, what is the purpose?
How am I going to get it back?
How am I going to get it back?
When
is it, I going to get it back?
Yeah.
If you fail to do what you want to do, what is there? You know, what is there to for me? How am I going to recover my money? So that's on the personal capacity. Imagine now a lending institution. They are also, in most cases, lending money that is not theirs. They are probably managing somebody's funds. So what does that say? That institution needs to be almost risk averse. You need to be very thorough into the work, into assessing what has been put on your desk. What does this person want? What is the purpose of the funds? You know, is what they want to do sustainable? Is it legal? Is it very important? Because you could be engaging into a business and later on you realize that there's actually not even permits, license, you know, authorization to operate. And what will happen to your investment? You will be at loss.
I never thought
because
about
you
that
didn't
one.
Do due diligence to understand all the risk. So who are you going to blame as an institution? Yourself. So hence the institution will do so much to, you know, to understand what it is that this entrepreneur wants to do, what is the purpose of funding, mm-hmm. how is the usage, you know, the repayability, mm-hmm. when are you going to repay, how are you going to repay, mm-hmm. is there still some disposable income left for you, and so forth. Because at the end of the day, I mean, the purpose is not just to run the business, pay off the loan, and that's it. You should still be having, you know, disposable income left in the coffer for you to run.
Yeah.
Yeah, for you to expand your business, for you to live as a shareholder, for you to do so many plans that you may have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So to get back to your question, really, mm-hmm. it's that combination of my years of experience
in
this business that I thought there is so much learning that must happen. Mm-hmm. There is so much education that must happen. Mm-hmm. There is maybe very few local relatable materials out there mm-hmm. that people could read and, you know, relate to. I mean, gone are the days when you have to read about something, a topic like this, but it's a book written in England, or is a book written in Kenya, is a book written so far away from our landscape.
Yeah.
So you want to give out something that is relatable. So hence I thought, let me document something. Let me document a guide that will help, entrepreneurs prepare better, you know, and, you know, to prepare better. Mm-hmm. In the book somewhere I discussed, or I mentioned my 3 P's, which mm-hmm. is preparation, mm-hmm. positioning, mm-hmm. and persistence.
So, persistence.
Yes. So the role really is, or the purpose of the book really is, to help entrepreneurs and investment professionals understand what financiers expect. Mm-hmm. What is it that financiers expect? What mm-hmm. do they want? Mm-hmm. So it gives you an insider's perspective. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you're sitting now, when you read that book, almost like you're sitting now on the other side of the desk, because now you know, oh, so this is what they want. So this is what they expect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not just about, collecting your good standing, your proposal that, by the way, you have not drafted yourself. Mm. It was drafted by a paid consultant. Mm-hmm. You registered your company with BIPA, you did what, you got your what, and then you dump it with your consultant. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that, because even when you do, when financiers engage you and you are unable to articulate, you're unable to answer your questions, your financial assumptions, your what and mm-hmm. What does that say? You may not know your business, actually.
Yeah.
And that is scary. That is risky. Because you'll be giving somebody money who may not be in a position to actually manage those funds. So, again, I thought, let me prepare something. Let me document something mm-hmm. From experience, you know, just to guide a few people out there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully one or two people who read it mm-hmm. and appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And I can guarantee you that if you go through the book, your chances in lending a loan would be way much better than, you know, where they were initially.
When you're going blindly.
When you just simply wake up, you know what, I want to manufacture what?
Yeah. It's
toilet papers, yeah. You know, it's a common business. Or I want a service station.
Mm.
And as Namibians, we also have this tendency of copying each other. You've seen A has started business what? And you think, I think they are making money.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons.
You know what? I think where I'm coming from, there is also an opportunity. I think I can also put this business there.
Mm.
Then you realize that it doesn't work, and mm-hmm. it won't work because you don't know the model that the other person is using. You also don't know what it is that, you know, they have done in terms of due diligence, market analysis, and all that. Yeah. For their business management and technical capacity,
yeah.
You know, all that.
True. Mm, nice. Earlier, you spoke about a business proposal that has been consulted, but that has been probably drafted by a consultant.
Yeah.
Why is it so then important to what is the alternative to that?
Well, not everybody has the privilege of, you know, going through school, right?
Yeah.
Or right. At least mastering how to, or even just drafting a business proposal, yeah. Right? So yes, of course, one can use a business consultant mm-hmm. or a financial consultant to draft your proposal for you. There are indeed even firms that exist mm-hmm. that specialize in that. But what I'm trying to say is feed your consultant with the information that you know of and that you want out. You know, you don't just simply say, Matilde, as your consultant now, Matilde, I want a groove mall in Khobabas. Do a business plan for me. But that's it, right?
Yeah.
So as a consultant, I'm just going to go in ChatGPT and just, you know, plug in things and then I'll download whatever and then I'll dump it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But the alternative is you tell me exactly what is your dream?
Mm.
How many units are we talking about?
Mm.
You know, what is the fashion like? I mean, do you want the complex to be like, you know, mixed? Like maybe up is maybe residential units and down is maybe office space. Do you maybe want to host shopping stores like supermarkets and maybe clothing stores?
Restaurants,
do you maybe want restaurants? What is it? What is your dream? And why did you choose Khobabas?
Mm.
And in Khobabas specifically, why did you choose this specific location? Is it because you think the nearest shopping mall is maybe 5 kilometers away? Or is it maybe because you think this 5 kilometers radius, there is a lot of feet that can support your establishment? Is that the case? So these are the information that you need to feed your consultant. And even after the consultant is sort of done with the first draft, you go through and understand and be comfortable in what has been drafted for you.
Yeah.
Ask the questions.
Yeah.
All the risk identified, mentioned, and mitigated.
Yeah.
Sometimes you as a business person, you actually know way more than what the consultant know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why I'm saying, yeah.
You definitely know more.
Yes. So, yes, you can use your consultant,
mm-hmm.
but be the guide to the consultant.
Be more specific.
Yes. Feed them the information.
Because
you know, I mean, you woke up at 3 o'clock with that idea.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes.
And truly when you go in there and perhaps they are questioning you about the business idea and you maybe brush through what the consultant wrote and maybe used some technical terminology that you don't even understand.
Correct.
And we get back to the point where you're speaking about not understanding and you will look like you don't understand your business.
Mm.
But it's not really that you don't understand your business. It's that it wasn't your specific ideas, your unique ideas were not properly pinned on paper.
Mm.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Nice.
So in other words, they must draft it themselves and be more specific with the consultant.
Yeah. I mean, really take a pen and paper mm-hmm. and put your dreams on paper.
Yeah.
Start documenting something. And when you forward it to your consultant who can maybe, you know, put it in more, in a better language that financiers understand, and format it better, and so forth, and maybe expand it into areas that you didn't think of, I think you must do the first write-up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get into costs. And I don't know, I feel like as if banks and institutions, they are too specific to not my liking.
Yeah.
So then they'll be like, okay, what is your estimated cost or something like that?
Yeah,
and tell us how much this one is likely to cost and this and this. Things that I don't even understand myself sometimes.
You know, Jules,
yeah.
that actually says when the moment you are unable to tell me how much your mall, I think let's stick to the mall exercise.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
How much it would cost anything at all.
Yeah.
You're actually not ready. You need to be investment ready when you are applying for funding. So you don't have to be, you know, exact or precise on everything, because you are not a candidate surveyor by for professional. You are not a project manager. You are not an engineer. So you are not expected to have the design in your head or the numbers in your head, but do your homework. For example, if you're putting up a solar panel or a borehole and you get a question, you mentioned you want, there's no water. You want to put up water.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how much the borehole costs, the system?
Yeah.
And you would say yes, because you have done a quotation.
Uh-huh.
You have consulted so-and-so that are in business to drill boreholes. And you have a quotation. You say, I got a quotation from who and who. Okay. It's around about, 500,000.
Okay.
But the moment you say no, it's because you are not ready. You haven't done your work.
Homework.
Your homework.
True.
Yeah. So it's important on that point alone to for cost estimate to know that if you're requesting for 100 million, for example, you know the breakdown. It's because you know 50 million is going towards the building. It's because you know the 10 is going towards professional fees. It's because you know the rest is going to A and B. So you don't just, you know, thumbsuck. You wake up and you say, I think maybe a 50 will do.
Yeah.
I think maybe a 10 will do. But what if you, at the end of it, the institution end up underfunding you? What do you do then? Do you come back?
Which is another process.
Yeah. Or do you want to be overfunded and then you end up paying or repaying such a huge installment?
And so, this is also that aspect, right?
Yeah. So you, yes, you got more funding than you needed.
Because you estimated extremely high.
Yes. Maybe the figures were overinflated. You know, the phone cost, 10,000?
Yeah.
This phone.
Mm-hmm.
But you told me the phone cost 50K. At the end of the day, you'd be repaying a loan of 50K instead of just 10.
Which is not necessary.
Yes, and that installment is going to give you sleepless night. So,
you remind me of something. Back in, I think it was high school, right?
Yeah.
And they taught us this thing about business, about sometimes businesses get, say for instance, it's a relatively, maybe let's use an example of the bakery. And then you go all out, you're baking within your location in your community. And then you buy all this expensive,
ingredients,
not really ingredients, machinery. But you're only catering to this so many people or this little people within the community, but you're going ahead anyway.
Yeah.
And sometimes you really go out and buy all this expensive equipment, which at the end of the day will be like a shoot in the foot for your business.
Correct.
Or perhaps you are not going out to buy the necessary equipment and there's a struggle there. So let's get more into getting this over, you know, getting a loan way above what you can really afford to give back. How then perhaps can entrepreneurs find that balance to know that, hey, I think I'm within, and to stick within their limits, not to get less and not to get beyond. Start with not getting overboard.
No, that probably speak into, you know, the feasibility things. Because again, to that moral exercise or example that we mentioned earlier, so the question is then, do you need to set up a replica of Groove Mall, or do you want to put up
something like Maromo,
or maybe just game complex? What is it that, you know, that's the question, really.
Okay.
The feasibility will be able to answer that, because the feasibility will do a study.
Yes.
On the market, the demand, you know, for wherever you want to do business.
putting the location now.
Yes, we put up the location. Mm. What is the feed like? Mm. How many people are actually employed in that specific town that you have identified? Mm-hmm. And when you know the number of people, of that number, how many actually have the means to buy something from or to support your enterprise? Mm-hmm. And even those that have the means, you still have to discount it further because you could be earning 10K per month, but what goes in your account is 500 because the rest is already taken away by debts or by other creditors.
Exactly.
So you still have to discount it further. And that's why the importance of why it's important for the feasibility, because it will help you uncover some of those things.
Mm-hmm. And who usually then is responsible to do the feasibility study? Myself as an entrepreneur?
Well, not necessarily yourself, okay, unless you are an expert in that.
Yeah. Okay.
But if not, then there are thousands of firms in, you know, countrywide that are in business for that. Mm-hmm. It may be expensive, but I mean, do they say? If you want money, you must spend money.
True. You know, as we're talking, a very wonderful idea is coming in my mind, and I'm sure business people, entrepreneurs can pick it up. I'm thinking of Rospina. 2 years ago, was it 2 or 3 years ago, I went to visit my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at this place and shops are limited.
Yeah.
You know, very limited.
Mm-hmm.
Like most of the stuff, most of the house utilities that my sister buys, she buys them in PEP.
Mm-hmm.
And she's literally forced to buy them in PEP because that's the only shop that is there. Otherwise, she has to travel to Oranjemund. Okay, there's Game, not Game, but then there's Edgar's. They're literally limited.
Yeah, OK's maybe.
Yeah. And I'm asking myself, wait, why can't business people come and plant shops here?
Mm.
I mean, they will literally, yes, I understand it's very, very, and it's a stretch from Windhoek. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you get people buying furniture from Windhoek and transporting them to there, you know?
Mm.
And I ask myself, why not? And now the mall, the Grove Mall story comes to my mind.
Yeah.
If I was to get up now and say I'm going to put a Grove Mall in Rospina, I'll be shooting myself in the foot.
Yes.
Because people are not that many.
Yes, people are not that many.
Yeah.
And by the way, because of that distance of wherever you are getting your stock from, I don't know, is it going to be Windhoek? Is it going to be Rundu?
Yeah.
Is it going to be South Africa? That distance, by the way, you'll have to price a little bit differently.
True.
From, you know, as opposed to if you were, you know, selling in Windhoek or anywhere else because of that distance.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have that in mind if that is what your plan is.
Yeah. And that's more like a sort of a where the feasibility study comes in.
Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay.
So because the feasibility study will also cover that.
Mm-hmm.
It will ideally give you an idea that we think, if that is your idea, we think the type of shop that could work here or the type of mall that can work here is this and that, catering for this and that and that and that, given the handful of people in Rospina.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay. And then that's where also the aspect of, you know, this is lifeless. I always like to break it down and make it easier for the person. So yeah, that it also now comes to the aspect of looking at those that can buy, that can really be able to buy, not so many, because now you're going to be looking at how many people are within the formal sector, employed in the formal sector.
Yeah.
And then there's also the informal sector, those who are employed in the informal sector.
Yeah.
Collectively, you can't just say there are about 100,000 people in Rospina.
Yeah.
And they are employed. I think there is where you weigh in to say in which sector can they afford.
Huh?
And even when they can afford, and even when they are employed, they're paying off their car, they're paying off their this and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Maybe I should actually join a firm in.
There may be opportunities actually out there
in
the market to help entrepreneurs do their studies. So maybe that right there is an opportunity for you.
Yeah, ne? Extra money. I you see, I'm a fast learner, guys. Okay, anyway, I think let's pause here for now.
Okay.
And we'll be back shortly.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngelo wapubwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angetashia kengeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And we are back. Of course, we're talking about this book by our wonderful author, Matilda Matthew. Miss Matilda Matthew. And I'm sticking to that beautiful surname. So those of you who want the full surname, please go buy the book and you'll find it all there. And the title is How to Thrive Amid Rising Debt. Now, Miss Matilda, let's talk about collateral. Usually, of course, when I want to go out and get a loan, or when entrepreneurs want to go out and get a loan, there's always something at the back of their mind, because I think banks always bring this to the forefront, or I don't know who makes it come to the forefront about collateral. Get into that for us.
Yeah, that's a very important question. And I'm so glad you asked, because you know what people do, entrepreneurs do.
Mm-hmm.
They fear sometimes lending institution because of collateral. A lot of people have good ideas there, but they think, I don't have collateral, so I'm not going to go borrow.
I don't have a house.
You know, it's that perception that has been inherited from people to people.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the misconception.
Okay.
So collateral is important for anybody lending you money, mm-hmm. because that basically safeguards the investment, right?
Okay.
The money, the capital that has been borrowed out.
Mm-hmm.
In case of default, in case you struggle to repay, then the collateral comes in.
Okay.
All right. That's the importance of collateral.
Mm-hmm.
But whether the institution would only borrow you when you have collateral, that's a different question.
Oh.
That's a different exercise.
Okay.
Because it's not always that you only get money when you have collateral. Some institutions do give, and in fact, some institutions have different facilities
mm-hmm.
that can be extended without collateral at all. Mm-hmm. Some can be given with a bit of collateral, mm-hmm. you know, in portions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what is advisable is that if you believe so much in your concept, in your business idea,
mm-hmm.
go to the bank or go to the institution,
mm-hmm.
present your case. Is your case feasible? Is it commercially feasible? Pack the collateral.
Okay.
Pack it.
Okay.
Just the concept alone. Is it good enough? Do we like it? Does it tick all the boxes? Are all the risk mitigated?
Yeah.
If the answer is yes, you will be in a better position to negotiate what collateral you could, you know, look around and find from all kinds of angles to support your application. Chances are that maybe the institution will even just ask for 10, 30, 50% of collateral.
I didn't
Not necessarily 50%.
Mm.
So, it's important to first sell your concept. Make sure. Now, if you have extra collateral, then of course, by all means. And if you do not have, maybe your bank or your institution could also help you find that consultant. That collateral.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh. Okay. By the bank, by the institution could help you find that collateral.
Yes, because institution, The network that has been built up is quite wide, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, which associations or which institutions or which, programs are out there that give collateral, for example. Or sometimes you don't even know what form of collateral. You just think, I don't have a house. I don't have a plot. So I don't have collateral, but that's not it.
Uh-huh.
You may have shares. You may have a plot. You know, somebody else could give you collateral.
Oh.
Sign for you.
Okay.
So it doesn't have to be yours. It doesn't have to be asset you own.
Yeah, yeah.
Could be a third party collateral. Could be a relative. Could be a friend. Could be a business partner. It could be your boss.
Uncle. Oh. Okay.
Could be anyone who is willing to sign for you.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Okay. Yes.
And honestly, that is the first thing. Even when we do discuss on radio, always this comes up to say, but the bank is asking collateral or the bank, you know, this type of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, or they're asking 2.5%, like in the case of youth development.
Yes.
And I think they were like, where do the youth find collateral?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. That's interesting.
Yes. But, you mentioned something, sort of verbally, but I mm-hmm. could see your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for everybody to have their own experience with mm-hmm. institutions, with banks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of time we borrow, you know, experiences, we borrow negative history or relationship with banks. You just had, no, SME bank used to do this and that and that.
Mm.
And as a result, you just also just, you know, close off.
True.
Go and have your own experience.
True.
Because you mentioned the 2.5 or whatever, you know,
percent.
Those things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Some things, it's a matter of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you would see, oh no, this facility comes with a 2.5% facility fee.
Yeah.
But I don't even have money. Oh, 2.5 of this amount. oh, is this much? Oh no, it's going to be so much. I don't have that money. But nobody is saying that you need to give that money in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody expects you to have that money.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it means we could debit your account with a 2.5% for facility fees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that's what it means, mm-hmm. as opposed to an advance payment.
Okay.
So sometimes it's a matter of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really advisable that you have your own experience.
Mm-hmm.
Try to go in the bank, secure an appointment, 30 minutes, and ask the questions. Ask the questions. Even when you think you know, go and ask the questions.
That what you said right there also. I don't think it's many people that know that they can even do that. Secure 30 minutes or secure just time with a bank just to ask questions.
Mm.
I don't think a lot of entrepreneurs even know that. Perhaps those who are well advanced, but then I don't think a lot of entrepreneurs know that I can go to the bank just to ask.
Yes.
They're like, no, maybe I'll be charged for it. Or maybe, you know. That type of thing.
And I'm happy that we're having this conversation, you know, just to clear up. Hopefully somebody's listening in.
Mm-hmm.
That, yes, you can just simply, if you don't have data or you don't have credit to call, but you are able to work or you are able to visit an institution, you simply go and ask, I'm interested in this and that and that. Can I speak to someone about it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Then you secure an appointment. It could be that week. It could be next week. Importantly also, you have an existing firm, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to expand.
Mm-hmm.
You have an idea of a few things that you want to expand or grow into.
Yeah.
But maybe you need a bit of guidance. You could also visit an institution that you want funding from and say, I want funding to grow this business of mine. Before I apply, is it possible to have a site visit? You know, to have a bank consultant or whoever to come and visit and see what's happening here. Because sometimes when they come, they realize, oh, okay, because of this, we don't fund, you know, maybe alcohol and gambling, sorry, we're unable to.
Mm-mm-mm.
Then it saved you a lot of time and effort, you know, documenting this and that for something that's not within the mandate of that institution.
I see.
You know?
Yeah.
Or maybe they will come and say, this is a good concept. Why don't you branch into this and that and that? You could possibly get funding for this and that and that.
And then they give you ideas that you didn't even have.
That you can now start venturing into.
And you know what? What's coming to my mind is that perhaps I have this firm that I have.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking of getting perhaps funding for some more desk or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which the bank might even decline.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do get now a consultant come and say, hey, I think you need more stores or that we could definitely fund.
Yeah.
It saves me also that rejection sort of.
Yeah.
And also the time and the energy that I put in putting all this paperwork when it could have really been channeled towards what the bank was giving or that institution.
Work.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you mentioned rejection.
Mm-mm-mm.
I mean, you are interviewing me.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I want us to drill into that question.
You are the development financer.
Because that
you
rejection
part,
you get a rejection, right? So you wanted to do your business, your venture, whatever. You submitted your application and then it was declined.
Yeah.
What then? What happens after that?
Mm-mm.
You know? A lot of people just simply say, you know, they want to pay in that institution. No, you know, those people they are just what? They are just what?
So many documents.
Yeah, no. Yeah, the process is so long. You know, all these things. But you could easily turn a no into a stronger application.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay.
Because when you get a decline, then secure an appointment again. To understand why was my application declined? No, it was declined because of this. It wasn't clear who's going to manage this entity. Oh, we noticed that this and that are the people that are going to manage, mm-hmm. but you are not qualified to do that kind of business, and you have also not even appointed someone who is qualified to do that, or you don't have any experience yourself, or have identified someone who is experienced, you know, that could be one reason.
Yeah.
Another reason could be maybe the market. You're saying, no, I want to manufacture aircrafts in Namibia and sell to people. I think there are a lot of millionaires in Namibia.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then so the bank will say, we believe the concept won't work given the Namibian market. Yes, maybe we have 10, 20, 50 millionaires.
How many of them actually?
How many are interested in buying aircraft if Namibia is your market?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But if you are saying Namibia is just a destination for manufacturing, but you intend to sell that to other countries, maybe your
Singapore,
such countries, maybe that's your market. Uh-huh. Maybe that could be looked at differently.
I see.
Yeah.
I like that.
Obviously, other merits would be looked at, but just to say that there could be so many reasons why your application is declined. Or maybe your figures. Maybe you are simply saying, no, on a monthly basis, I'll be earning a million. So I'll ask you then, how did you come to a million?
You know what? We have a scheduled commercial break. Let's pause for that and then also go for a musical break. But we will be back to discuss about an application that's rejected. How do you handle that? No, stay tuned.
Lipura nengeno wapubwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opo yue.
Ega meno joma uyerele koko marungura, kalishi ashike upsa kathi opa uteknika, oliriwo omkundu opa shigwana, upsa kathi opaliko, no hashivuru oku ya moshipara uhupiro uongeshefa. Oshini momtumba Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition umvo mao vigajo mirongo mbalina hamano, iikondo epangero mahangano gopa umwene u ministeri wepangero ni ikondo ya yoroka no handimwe onetamu ithanwa muhoroke komtumba omtitatu watumburu wa metetekero esikuwa mirongo mbali naga alisikuwa mbali naga nega apiriri maovigalio mirongo mbali naga mano ekaroko Arembush Travel Lodge Movenduka oshiparashi kundathanwa okuanja gane kuyerele kombinga ukoshoki wopa ungomba ano saiba hejin kene una oku ironge kithira omashongo koko marungura no marongo kefopopeko jerongi hizo jomarungura na iru inji. Koneka, omahangano ohandiwe ni kondo, mboka tamukatu maa akaliripo ya konda pantu ya tano, otamukape wa ompito yomtu umwe awedhu wapo. Hashoa shikeshoka, pethimbo jomtumba ugotungoka, otakukakarao VIP Cyber Gala Dina, nuyere lounji wa maisha angizo no mapurapuro, kwa tasa na nayo, konoraje tatu imwe, onda tu ya tano, omgoigeali. Nenge ko email, info@dstech.com.n Nenge, utarele pwe panja jao jopa ungomba kwa www.dstech.com.na. Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition, Securing Namibia Digital Future.
Koni maondo tuto ingida, ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo, ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeje pa omarudi tayo loka opone ujendi fenawa nukumona oijamoyiri nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Trying to keep my head up, I try to win, but every time I lose. Should be getting better, I try, but I don't know what to do. Hope this ain't forever, I just wanna make a breakthrough. But something inside said never give up. All of these setbacks are major setups. If I keep on fighting, if I keep on trying, if I aim for the sky, one day things will go my way. One day things will go my way. Mm-hmm. One day things will go my way. I've gotta hang in there. Deep down I know one day things will change. I can't live in fear. I know I've got to push through the pain. I've gotta believe in myself. Mm-hmm, yeah. If it's not me, then no one else will. But something inside said never give up. All of these setbacks are major setups. Mm-hmm. If I keep on fighting, if I keep on trying, if I aim for the sky, one day things will go my way. One day things will go my way.
And we are back. Of course, like I told you, this is Life Lessons. We talk about life. And today we're talking to entrepreneurs specifically and them trying to get, their businesses to thrive. And of course, we know money answers all things. So we need money. And sometimes we don't have that money within our pockets. And therefore, we try and get hold of institutions or banks that can actually finance that dream. But then again, you need to have the right knowledge and the right information. And that's why Miss Matilde is with us in studio today. Now we will continue. Let's continue to talk about rejection. When I get a no, I've applied, I went and got my good standing certificate and I think Social Security, they also asked what was there. In all the documents, I did everything literally. But I still got rejected. What then now?
No, that's a very important question. You know, and just before the break, I was saying that it's very important to find out why your application was declined.
Yeah.
You know, reason could vary from maybe issues that with regards to market, issues that got to do with management and technical capacity, issues that has to do with maybe your projections, your cash flow projections.
Okay.
Maybe your projection were overly, you know, maybe you are too ambitious.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
For example, on projection, when you say, no, I think my business will be able to generate $1 million per month, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know? And can you tell someone step by step how you got to $1 million? It may be easy for, you know, when you're selling maybe, you know, movable assets like cars and things like that. You know, each car, maybe I sell 5 cars per month and each is 250,000.
Yeah.
That's maybe easy.
Yeah.
But if it's maybe service, for example, maybe even radio, for example, how do you know you'll be making $1 million per month? Is it through adverts? How many adverts are you foreseeing? Or how many, I don't know what your income is like.
Yeah.
You know, or is it membership or is it, I don't know.
Interesting.
You must be able to break down your source of revenues, you know. So you must be able to really break it down into pieces that will eventually tally up to the amount that you think you'll be earning or making per month. So maybe that was not clear. Because if you just, you know, dump it there and that, no, this is how much I'm going to make.
Yeah.
And if it's really alarming, one would probably, you know, hesitate to say, okay, but what is this figure? What is it made up of? You know? So whatever the nature may be, whatever the reason you are given, what I'm saying in the book is that you are almost able to challenge or to address the reasons upon why your application was declined. Even if you're on ITC, maybe you're on ITC, and maybe you have, I don't know, maybe 10 listing, which 10 is really alarming, you know? It maybe shows that, oh, this person is not financially disciplined. Or they are not really willing to, you know, honor their obligations out there. Are they going to honor mine?
Good question.
Even if it's ITC, for example, you could still say, I know I'm listed for A and B, maybe because of my phone bill. Maybe it was because COVID happened, I lost my job and what. But what can we do? Maybe we could have a payment arrangement. Maybe you could enter into a payment arrangement with your creditor and say, on a monthly basis, I'll be paying you this much. And that is the same arrangement you can then give to your financial institution to as support that I know I have that issue, but this is the arrangement that I put in place. That should be able to mitigate somehow that issue. If it's not sufficient, you can still speak. You can still have that conversation up to a stage when both of you are happy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mentioned something quite interesting. Those on ITC, entrepreneurs who are listed there, might perhaps want to stay away already. And I love also how you earlier said we tend to hinder ourselves from going to certain institutions because we borrowed people's experiences.
Yes.
And perhaps this person is only listed on two ITCs. And they're like, but I'm listed. I'm very certain the bank won't give me anything. So talk to us about that one.
So again, that it's similar to what I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
Do not, you know, stay away just because of that.
Mm-hmm.
There may be other ways. For example, a tender.
Yeah.
You have secured a tender, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you need funding.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go to the institution, the bank is saying, oh, they say, no, but you are listed. You owe X an amount of a million. Mm-hmm. That's too much. You know, it's a difficult sell, that one, you know. But we can, if you have secured a tender, you could maybe enter into an arrangement to say,
mm-hmm.
you know what, give me the funding. Don't pay me directly. Pay my suppliers directly.
Mm.
And then they simply deliver the material to my site. I do what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
My work is certified. I get paid. Money does not come to me still. It must come to you, you that borrowed money.
Yeah.
And then you take your portion of debt and interest.
Yeah.
And then the change, which is my profit, then comes to me. That could be a way. Or you could easily say, I will enter into an agreement that the first maybe progress payment or the first invoice payment that I get from this tender goes towards settling that issue, that ITC issue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a promise that we are now also having with the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And you see to it that you do that, because it's important to build and maintain relationship with financial institutions.
It's important.
It's important to maintain that, especially for repeat funding.
Mm-mm-mm.
Because you today, you want to mess up because it's a small 1 million that you got.
Yeah, yeah.
Because tomorrow you are going to have a project worth of 100,000. But when you come to the bank, you will find the same people that helped you with a 100,000 that you messed up. Who is then going to find you? You messed up. We know your record.
Exactly.
So maintain that relationship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you to enter into this arrangement to make sure that, you know, your ITC, yes, it's alarming, yes. You also give, you know, paint the story. This happened, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Can be all mushy and emotional.
Yeah.
They, in the brain, you can tell all these stories, I'm telling you. But, yeah.
You know, when money is important.
Yes. And, you know, sometimes a person can even cry in front of you. They say, no, but this happened and that happened. It's up to you.
Yeah.
To compose yourself and, you know, remain professional.
Yeah.
But back to this story.
Uh-huh.
So trying to enter into some arrangement. Firstly, speak to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Speak, what is it that I can do to mitigate this matter?
No.
What is it that I can do from my part?
Mm-mm.
You know? Listen in. Maybe they will give you a few ideas here and there.
Mm.
And if you are able to, or maybe you can get someone to, as a guarantor, to say, I know this person, this is my balance sheet, I'm willing to sign surety ship for this person in case of default.
Yeah.
You know? So again, why it's important to consult. So your application is declined.
Mm-hmm.
Find time and understand what went wrong. What are those issues that were raised? How do you mitigate those risks?
Yeah.
I can guarantee you next time around, your application will be better.
Mm-hmm. Because you want to avoid those.
Your submission will be. Maybe you will not get a full approval, or maybe you get an approval with conditions. It doesn't matter. But as you go, you will definitely improve your chances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. We're learning I'm learning a lot myself. Now let's talk about equity.
Yes.
I would want you to first start explaining to us what is equity and how can it perhaps help me to secure a loan.
So, It's like collateral. Okay. It's also very important to understand why is it relevant. Mm-hmm. And it's also interesting enough. It's not so much of a new theme, mm-hmm. but here and there, entrepreneurs want to ask immediately, you know, do you ask for equity? You know, before they even tell you what is it that they want to do, they immediately ask, do you ask for collateral?
Yeah.
Do you ask for equity? Mm-hmm. You know, equity is really, in a layman's term, mm-hmm. what is it that you, the shareholder or the project promoter, is bringing on board, you know,
yeah.
as investment into the business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bank, you are getting debt, right? From yourself, how much capital or how much funds do you have, or how much fund have you spent so far mm-hmm. in the business? That can be considered as equity. That is equity. So whatever money that you have spent towards your business mm-hmm. setup, or money that you still have that is reserved for your business, mm-hmm. that is equity. Mm-hmm. It's important to provide equity or to contribute towards your total project cost with some equity. Why? Because that reduces the exposure, the total loan that you would have initially gotten. So instead of getting 100 million, for example, And I know I'm using big figures. I don't know why.
It's okay. Yeah.
But instead of getting 100 million, because that's how much your project cost, mm-hmm. but you actually in your pocket you have about maybe 10. So instead of borrowing the whole 100, you just end up borrowing 90. The 90 because the 10 you have. That also shows the financier how serious you are with your business.
Mm.
Because you are committed. You are willing to use your own hard-earned money into the project.
Yeah.
So you are serious. So chances you going to mess up your business is very low. Because you are putting in money. This is probably money that you have, you know, saved up for I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
Or this is money that you have gotten, is maybe profit from your many other projects.
Mm,
which now you are putting it into this project. It shows commitment, you know?
Yeah.
But from the bank's perspective, not only it shows commitment, but it's also lessening the risk. The risk.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The risk is reduced.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice. Okay. I think, let me also ask about common mistakes that entrepreneurs make when trying to secure funding for their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of those common mistakes? I know we've addressed some of them.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. What are some of those common mistakes that they make that you think also need to be made aware of?
Mm. In a previous interview, I mentioned that, you know, when you're seeking for money, don't just ask money for the sake of money.
Mm.
Ask an institution money as a partner that is offering an opportunity. Lending institutions are in business to lend money.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't want to lend it to just anyone. They want to lend it to somebody who's prepared, right?
Right.
To a partner. To a sustainable somebody. So what that means is that you are lending money to this person, mm-hmm. but you know on a long-term basis that you are secured with them, that your investment is safe,
mm-hmm.
that you're able to recover your funding, mm-hmm. that you're ultimately going to use and use it again for the next client.
Right.
Yes.
Interesting. I think if entrepreneurs don't walk away with this knowledge, I don't know.
Yeah, wow. No, I do. I do hope. So that's one. Let's not get swayed. So that's one common mistake that entrepreneurs make.
Mm-hmm.
They just, you know, I want money. That's it. And they it's in and out, you know. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, if you just want a quick, you know, loan for this to solve that problem and then you are out.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with that. Okay. But as a financier, I'm not in business to give money today and tomorrow is out. Because my money comes from interest rate.
Exactly.
And interest rate is charged on a monthly basis. So I want somebody who is staying in for a long time.
Mm.
Sustainability.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Again, another common mistake maybe would be the information that you provide to the institution. The information, the document.
Yeah.
If the requirement is saying, give, I know it can be, you know, chaotic sometimes in our busy world.
Mm-hmm.
And some institutions really do ask for a lot of information. But you also need that money. Give the information that has been requested.
Okay.
Give it.
Yeah.
So if the point is give a certified document. Give a certified document. Don't give it uncertified because that's very annoying. Why are you giving this?
Yeah.
What am I to do with it if I have a policy that says only accept document that are certified with it? You know? So the effort also to really attend to the requirement, the basic requirements that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Is also, you know, one of the things that entrepreneurs actually fail to do.
And and sometimes I guess it looks very basic and that's why maybe they overlook it. But then that obviously reduces your chance of getting the funding. It's, I think, also a common mistake in somebody who's applying for a job.
Mm.
If they say certified document should not be more than 6 months or 3 months for that
matter.
And you really want this job, then why not?
It's just simple. Yes. If you really want the job, why don't you just do that? I mean, I don't think it's always everybody or every institution that would, you know, decline you because of outdated ID or an outdated bank statement or something. It's not everyone.
Mm-mm.
It's not every institution.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most institutions will still tell you that, okay, I'm happy with this document, but these ones are outdated. Please go and get fresher ones. But others, maybe they don't have the time.
Sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's very, very strict. You submit something, it's not in order, you send it back.
And then again, it also says something about you.
Yeah.
If you're failing to even submit
the bare minimum,
how do we know that you're going to be able to even pay back the bare minimum?
Correct. Correct.
Say something about you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing is don't underestimate consulting. It's very important because you may be submitting something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's an app that you want to develop.
Yeah.
You as an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
You submit it to me and I don't necessarily grasp what the app is about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I read it, but I'm just not getting it.
Mm-mm-mm.
But if you come in and say, I would like to schedule maybe a presentation, let me take you through this app. You may want to invite maybe your other colleagues, the rest of the colleagues or whatever that you are working with, just so as for both of us to make sure that we are on par with this.
Mm.
So don't underestimate sharing or reaching out to your consultant in the institution that you want to lend money from to make sure that your product, your concept is well understood. Because maybe the person on the other side doesn't actually understand your concept.
Yes.
It's up to you to do that. It's up to you to convince and to educate and to make sure that they have all the information.
Mm-hmm.
And when they are making any decision, is a well-informed decision.
Okay. That's another aspect that I didn't know that entrepreneurs can explore. As much as you've handed in your documents, also then be free to request to make, to pitch your idea. Because I personally feel like documents say something, but in person you could say more. You can quite get ahead, you know. Like for instance, even in interviews, you know, you get someone's CV and you're quite intrigued with what they've written down.
Until they come in.
Yeah. And they can't actually articulate themselves. Correct. They're mostly looking down and, you know, and then as opposed to the other one who didn't do so well
in the presentation of the document.
But then when they do pitch the idea to you, you're like, even yourself, you're falling in love with the idea to say, I see potential in this, you know. So there's that angle, that possibility of actually entrepreneurs coming and requesting and say, okay, you know what, Miss Matilda, I would love to come in and explain my idea further just to get you in and use maybe some diagrams.
It's very important because it doesn't mean because you are the financier.
Yeah.
You read all these plans throughout your life. It doesn't mean you know everything. You know it all.
No. You can't get into someone's brain.
No, to check whether they understand this or not. It's like a teacher. So you have two teachers teaching the same subject.
Yeah.
But one is so good at communicating. Their students are always, you know, your A-stars, scoring so well. And the principal is wondering, but what is different? You know? Exactly. These teachers both came in maybe same day, all from where, you know, same number of students, but these ones, students are scoring well. They are passing flying colors. These ones know what is the matter. So feel free. I mean, don't just dump your application there and hope for the best. Check in. How is it? Did you get everything? Are you happy with everything? Yes. If not, is there something I can do? If you feel there's not much happening, you say, I would like to come in just to make sure that we are aligned with my submission. As you may have seen this and that, this is my idea. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to do it. Are we aligned? You have questions? It's an opportunity, you know, for them to also ask questions.
Okay. Let's get to the aspect of I got the funding.
Yes.
As an entrepreneur.
Yes.
What shouldn't I do?
Wow. No. You should actually be happy you got your funding. You are now going to do whatever you wanted to do.
I'm going to buy me that, but habal.
Yes. But you know what? Now that you mentioned that.
Yeah.
A mistake that entrepreneurs do. I'm an entrepreneur myself. I mean, also an entrepreneur myself.
Yeah.
So the one mistake that we also do is what? You get the funding and all of a sudden, you want to misuse your funding. All of a sudden, you want to misuse your funding. You got funding to do your bakery that you mentioned earlier. So you got a million. But then you realize, but you know what? I think I'm so done with taxi. I'm getting myself a car.
Yeah.
So a whole 300K went to go buy a brand new car. What does that do to your budget? It's now reduced.
Yes.
With 300,000.
Sure.
At the end of the day, you only end up, you know, buying a few things. You are no longer going to operate on, you know, full capacity and optimal.
Yeah.
So that is one mistake that entrepreneurs also do. I mean, challenges are out there, especially social challenges. But really, if you want to stick to business, if you want to do business, stick to it. Try to stick to it.
And then in the long run, now I'm seeing two possibilities here. Now I go out, I go buy myself a car, 300,000 spent cash, brand new. And now I'm just operating with 700,000, maybe in dollars, for instance. And then, of course, I'm not, like you said, the business is now not operating on optimum now anymore. So the target that I was saying or that I put on paper that by this time I have this much and I'll be able to repay this much, I'm not reaching that target on time.
Yeah.
And as a result, with time, business is lacking and the car is also losing some sort of value over years.
Yes.
And then at the end of the day, bank wants to come and repossess.
Mm.
Not only my car that I bought, which was brand new, but maybe part of my business as well. And then I've terribly shot myself in the foot.
Yes, because now you have issues with that car. But then because you are also not operating at full capacity on your business,
yes,
you may not be earning what you initially thought you would earn.
Mm-hmm.
So now instead of earning a 20K from the business, maybe now you only earn 5. And that 5, is it enough now to service the loan? Is it enough for you to now pay your workers, to pay your water and electricity bill, and to pay, leave some change to pay for your child's school? Nice. Buy yourself a salary. So, yeah, you'll be shooting yourself in the foot.
Indeed.
So we need to think, you know, smart about how we want to spend that the business money.
Mm.
Yes.
As opposed
to... Sorry, I cut you there, but I wanted to also just go back to that point. What do you then do once you get your approved funding? So obviously the procedure may be you need to commit now into obligations by signing of loan agreements and what, firming up securities if there is any collateral and so forth, any legal documents. That's now the following phase that needs to be done. But what do you do with the funding? You will then immediately start rolling with your business. You hopefully have a work plan in terms of what it is that you are doing first. What is also advisable is that only draw money that you need now. So back to that mall exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You are not now expected to draw the whole 100 million for everything, for that money to sit into your account.
Okay.
Because interest will then start charging based on the amount or the facility that you have drawn so far.
I see.
So only draw, for the mall example, only draw now money maybe to finalize your designs, professional fees. Then from there, maybe it's the construction of the mall, the civil work, you know, the wet work. Eventually, until the construction is done, the building is standing.
Mm-hmm.
Then only then you start paying for furniture and furnishes.
Okay.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You know? Then only then maybe after that you start hiring, I don't know, workers to manage your facility for you, property management.
Yeah.
Then only then maybe if you yourself are going to have a shop, maybe let's say your anchor shop, maybe you want to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
If you are going to have maybe a mini safe, then only then you start paying to mini safe for the stock to come into the shop. So you do it in phases. And I spoke about it in the book that sometimes it's important to phase your project. Face it. Because when you are facing it, you are, one, managing your cash flow. You are managing your risk. You are managing your drawdowns at the bank, your interest, your repayment. Sometimes you get grace period.
Okay.
So that's the period that you get before you start paying back the loan.
Okay.
So you need to manage that very well. So as soon as you draw money, you must get going. Because time is now ticking. Yes. So you move in such a fashion, in phases, until eventually everything is done. So no buying of cars. personal, unless you need a car to transport your workers, to transport your materials, to when it's needed, and it was initially part of your budget, then by all means do that. But it was never. You shoot yourself in the foot.
And fuel also that will be going in that car will be coming from this money.
And if you yourself are not financial savvy, please do get someone on board immediately to manage your finances. Because suddenly you are paying, you know, tax, VAT, all that. You need to get someone to start doing your papers.
I see.
Yes. To someone to account for every dollar that you got. Somebody should hold you accountable, you as a business person.
Yeah.
But we got a loan of this. Last week we draw this much. I only saw this and that bought from. What happened to the rest of the loan money?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should be able to account for everything. So you, if you yourself are not a finance person, get someone. Yes.
I like this. Anyway, I'm usually very selfish when the conversation is so engaging. But let's open the studio line. Studio line is now open. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. I repeat that again. 083-288-401. 083-288-401. Wherever I got the other one, please ignore that one. So I repeat it for the third time. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. Please come through, ask your questions. Perhaps you are an entrepreneur and you're even thinking of actually going to institutions and ask for a loan to be able to fund your business. Please. This is the only opportunity I have. Okay, no, let me not say that. Because Matilda said you can walk into the bank and actually ask for time to actually ask questions. But yeah, okay, this is quite interesting. I think more of this needs to be done. And I'm so really glad now. It's now that I appreciate the book even the more, honestly. Yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah, because there's so much. I now see that there's so much that I think it's not made known out there, such as the facing, you know, as opposed to just collecting the whole 1 million and comes into your account. And that also puts you at risk because I'm sure you've told your cousin and your uncle and your auntie, two or three people know that you went to get money. And as a result, you become a target. Because
Jules, I'm telling you, money, back to that, why you asked me earlier what I studied, and I said development finance, and the purpose why it was introduced by the Stellenbosch University.
Yeah.
Social challenges are everywhere, and it's when you have money, it's almost like a magnet. Suddenly, problems are there: funerals, weddings, contributions, this and that, students. School fees, broken house, car broken, you know, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Opportunities here and there.
Yeah.
So when you have money. So you will be challenged when you have the money. So again, draw what you need at that moment. Because when you have a million in your account,
you will want to go on vacation.
Yeah, then your mom is calling and she's crying. She didn't eat. What are you going to do? You are definitely going to send that 5,000 and say, ah, you know what?
Yes.
Go ahead and buy all the maize that you can find in the shop. You know? But if you don't have that money, you don't have it.
Nope.
And by the way, the institutions will ask you, okay, you are drawing this much money now. What is the purpose?
Yeah.
Ah, it's for this and that and that. Okay. Some institutions, by the way, they don't do that. So it's the onus is on you to manage yourself, to manage your funding, your approved funding. Yeah.
And that part I see it's quite properly explained in the book.
Yes.
Facing your project.
It is.
Okay.
There's a whole section about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And then there's also the section of collateral. That is chapter 5, insurance policies and collateral. accessing the value of collateral. It is quite a lot. And Matilda, I must really say thank you. Even for the way you explained everything that you have explained here,
mm-hmm.
I'd initially not thought about it as such, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for my business friends out there, entrepreneurs, who sometimes, yes, you want to go and approach a bank or institution, but you don't really know what it is that you should do and what not. And another point that I will go with is don't just depend on the consultant to draft up the plan.
Yes.
Do it yourself as well.
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's also get into maybe employees as well. Because another aspect I know is that you are also asked to identify the employers, right, who will be working with you and how much expected, how much salary they will be probably getting or so.
Mm-hmm.
I want to think that perhaps some entrepreneurs might want to say, okay, I'm going to employ Happy and I'm going to be paying her 5,000.
Yeah.
But all in reality, he's actually just going to be paying me 2,000 Namibian dollars.
Mm.
Okay. What's the danger of that mistake and why should it be avoided?
I think institution may vary.
Okay.
In terms of what interests them.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody would say it's a petrol jockey, somebody working at the fuel station.
Mm-hmm.
You are paying them 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I just haven't seen it yet. So when you put it on document that you are going to pay, I will definitely pause and say, what is this? Are you sure? Are you telling the truth?
Mm.
What's going on here? Is this a new thing? Must I check the new labor law or something or what? What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody will question that. Somebody will probably just let it be like, oh, it's none of my business. Maybe they are really going to pay that much.
Mm.
But if somebody is questioning you, then you must be glad because they are doing their work. And they also want to make sure that you don't end up in trouble. Because if that money is then inflated, you are inflating every cost then. It means instead of paying employees your 10,000, actually, you want to say in the documents that you are going to pay them 20. So that's double, right? So at the end of the day, you end up borrowing more money than you actually need.
Mm-hmm.
But the revenue base stays the same.
Mm.
You understand the danger in that?
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
So your earning remains the same, but the cost is doubled.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you are going to pay that much as well. So avoid that.
Yeah.
Avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's important to financiers to go through such costs. Just make sure that they are market related.
Mm-hmm.
If you're saying that you are going to buy, you're in construction, for example, and you need a vehicle to transport your workers, which is a very valid point, you know, it's quite vital that you get one.
Yeah.
But you gave me a quotation of a G-Wagon. So I will ask you, this is a luxury car.
Yeah.
How are you going to use that G-Wagon to transport your workers? What workers are these?
CEOs.
maybe that because
we don't have their own car.
Yeah. What is realistic is maybe to have a bus or a pickup or I don't know, something in that line.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I mean if we're talking about reducing costs, for example, maybe we think this is a good concept. However, what you have borrowed maybe is a little bit excessive. Do you want to consider reducing it? Can we look at some of those items that you have proposed to see if we can reduce it? Instead of buying maybe a certain brand, maybe it's a Toyota or whatever.
Yeah.
Don't we want to go down to the GWs maybe?
Mm.
Instead of a V8 Land Cruiser.
Yeah.
did you just want to do the normal V6, whatever?
Yeah.
You know? Because the prices go down. You know, things like that. Instead of buying a bus of Mercedes, you can just do Photon or whatever these brands are.
Yeah. Okay.
Not that I'm discrediting other brands.
Of course.
But you're, I mean, that's the rationale, really. Mm. Yes.
You try something more that you can afford now.
Yes.
At the end of the
day, let's work on what can, you know, what can be beneficial to both of us.
Okay.
You know, you are still operating,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still happy with what I'm lending you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I like that. And in other words, be truthful.
Yes, it's important also to be honest.
Yes, honesty.
Yes.
It goes a long way. Let's talk about interest rate. I know we did talk about it, but I specifically want to ask on how perhaps is interest rate calculated?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily into detail, but yeah. Because I think that's something that also I want to keep in mind, whether I'll be able to pay this back or I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's also very important. And also one of those things that entrepreneurs fear. Hey?
Yeah. Ne?
So what they say is, so, okay, I want to do this. What is your interest rate?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's those much. Oh, but that's also so high or what, that, you know. But interest is definitely different from institution to institution.
Okay.
It also differs from product to product.
Oh.
It also differs from risk to risk. I mean, your profile might be riskier.
Okay.
As opposed to mine.
Okay.
Maybe I have my ducks in a row and maybe you don't.
Mm.
So you want to price higher for to a risky person and not the
Ouch.
One that is, you know.
To a risky, you mean?
If you are riskier.
Happy doesn't look like she's going to repay back.
Yeah.
Hi, Paul.
Because this is not so convincing that it's going to be done. You look at this area, it's also a bit sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
You look at this area, you also,
I'm sure.
Yeah, you know.
But doesn't that make it more difficult for me to repay back? Like, when the interest rate is already high, because I'm sort of like
I want, as a financier, you want to retain clients, right?
Right.
You want to retain clients. You can retain, I mean, for a repeat client, there's no way you're going to keep overcharging them the highest interest in the market. Because now they are good clients. They have a track record of repaying loans.
Mm-hmm.
They have track records with their various banks, wherever they bank, that money comes in and out. There is no non-repayments.
Yeah,
there is no, you know, all kind of issues, financial issues.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody can bank them now. So you need now to make sure that you retain them. So you want to give them a competitive rate.
I see now.
Yeah.
And I guess this is where that thing of have a good credit score, credit record with the bank.
It's quite vital. It's quite vital that you maintain a very credit score with a financial institution, with a bank.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just never know when you need them.
True.
And for every transaction, for every thing that you want, they will look at that. It will be in black and white. But you did this and that. But you have this habit and that and that.
Yeah.
But you are rated what and what and what.
Yeah.
Therefore, we are unable to help you in this way, in this manner, in this with this amount.
I see.
Yeah. So interest rate may differ from your risk profile, may differ from amounts, may differ from institution to institution.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, any lending institution would always add a margin to, because they are in business for that. To make something out of your facility that you borrowed, to be able to borrow more funds to more entrepreneurs.
Mm.
Yeah.
I see. Interesting.
Yeah, but also maybe just to add on the interest, you can negotiate. That's one thing that entrepreneurs also don't know. you can negotiate your interest. You got this interest and in your view, it's high. Or maybe your cash flow cannot afford that.
Yeah.
Don't just take it. Go and find out if you can reduce it by even by 0.1. It will make a difference.
It will.
Give your reason as to why you think you should get a much or a lower or reduced interest rate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Again, to that point, to say consult and speak to your financier and build and maintain your relationship. It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. I love this. I asked you now, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked you in the beginning.
Yes.
And I have reasons why I'm asking it again.
All right.
Okay, cool. What is your aim as you wrote this book?
Yeah.
How to Thrive Amid Rising Debt.
Yeah.
What is it that you want it to achieve within mm-hmm. the society, within the community?
Okay.
And I ask this question now from a different perspective.
Yeah.
As opposed to in the beginning.
Yeah. So I'm going to answer it in twofold as well.
Okay.
So one is on a higher level, I am passionate doing what I do, being an investment professional.
Okay.
My aim really is to see as many Namibians, not only to secure funding,
mm-hmm.
but to secure it strategically, sustainably, and with confidence. You know,
mm-hmm.
that is one. Two, as we do that, I want now us to educate these very entrepreneurs, because you can get to the sustainability, to the confidence, to the strategically parts that I mentioned earlier, only when you have prepped yourself.
Mm.
I want us to have business people that actually produce good submission, that are ready, that have prepared themselves and submit something with better chances to land a loan.
Yeah.
There are a lot of businesses out there.
Good businesses.
There are a lot of good businesses out there. There are a lot of entrepreneurs out there.
Mm-hmm.
And before I forget something, okay, remind me to get my point, but before mm-hmm. I forget something,
mm-hmm.
it's also important for entrepreneurs to know that if you are not fluent in the language that your bank, your consultant is speaking, ask for a person that understands your Oshkwanyama.
Mm.
Ask for the person that speaks your
language. Yes.
Yes. Your language.
Your home language.
Please. Because we have seen it in Namibia. We have millionaires that don't read, that cannot read.
Yeah.
We have millionaires that cannot speak any word of English. And English, yes, it's our official language. But nobody would hold a gun to your head and say, only speak English or I won't help you. Ask nicely and say, colleagues, I have this idea and what. Can you please ask for somebody who's speaking this and what for me to communicate properly? It's important that entrepreneurs know that. This is what I understood. We know English is the official language.
Yeah.
But we are still saying that if you are not fluent in that, do ask for help. Don't shy away.
Mm-mm.
Do not shy away.
Definitely.
Now, where were we on the other point?
and the second note of why you wrote the book.
Oh, yeah.
The community. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was also just to say, the second point was really to educate
mm-hmm.
and to help the readers, entrepreneurs mm-hmm. out there understand how financiers think.
Mm.
Because when you know, this is what, it's like knowing a person, like you married to someone, you kind of know them.
Yeah.
You know that if I say this, I'll be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I do this, this mm-hmm. is their sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, it's business. you sort of know financiers don't like this. They expect this and that and that. Also, this is how to go around this. This is how you navigate this. That's really one of the reason why I wrote the book, because I felt like there is a gap between what is expected and what people think should be submitted.
Mm-hmm. And from our interview, I picked that there is a huge gap. That needs to
certainly
be
a huge gap.
Mm-hmm. And I think I can understand why you decided to put it on paper. Because, I mean, when you do see very wonderful business ideas that don't get the funding that they need to get, all because they don't know what they should put or include and not include and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're talking about sustainability now. Namibia needs to stop importing from other countries. We need to produce local and also value addition.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about that, we are specifically indirectly pinpointing to businesses out there.
Mm.
And for them sometimes to actually get to that position where they are even adding value to the produce that they're producing, it is when they get the funding.
Mm.
And sometimes when they do apply for funding, they fail altogether.
Yeah.
So I really see the aspect and the gap that you've identified and decided to fill it.
Mm.
And even with the interview on its own, I'm just like, she needs to go further more.
There is definitely a lot of opportunities for future work.
Okay.
But that's a story for another day, whether I would write or not.
Mm.
But there is definitely room for more and more to be shared out there.
Mm.
But I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
One is never really there is definitely always a need for information.
Sure.
One is never really like a know it all.
Mm.
Because you will meet a CEA, a CEO, head of what, you know, the expectation is that these people got their ducks in a row. They know everything.
Yeah.
Then they submit something, even just a business plan, and you just want to, you know, you want to stand up and say, what is this?
Yeah.
And you can't blame the person because that's not their daily bread.
Yeah.
That's not what they do every day.
Mm-mm.
So again, why we should get this book and read and have an idea of what should be submitted or what is it that is expected by the banks and so forth. The book is very smooth, Jules.
Mm-hmm.
It's just below 70 pages.
Yeah.
It's very
easy
to read, easy to follow.
No terminology.
No, there's no jargon.
There is
no big words. It's not so academia, at all. It's just you don't feel like you must have a higher letter.
And a dictionary.
And a dictionary. No. And importantly, there are examples here.
Nice.
Real life example.
Practical example.
Like world, real life example.
Mm-hmm.
Cases that I've dealt with where I will give you an example of somebody did what and what, and this is how they navigated it.
Nice.
Yeah.
And I think at this point, somebody might be wondering, I keep talking about the book, where can I access it?
Yes. So the book is available directly through me.
Okay.
If you just, I'll give my number now, but also all my social media platforms, you go there, Matilda Nambau, you should be able to get hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
If my number is not there, you can inbox me, you can do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can also email it to me. My number is 0811-492001. All right. Again, 0811-492001. Mm-hmm. So that's my number.
Mm-hmm.
Simply text, call, WhatsApp, you name it, and we'll be able to send you the book. We have sent this book through Korea, mm-hmm. almost every part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever you are, you know, maybe we can get you this book. If you're in Windhoek, we may even deliver it to you, to your doorsteps.
Mm-hmm.
If not, you can also just pick it up wherever, my house, wherever, mm-hmm. coffee shop, mm-hmm. yeah. wherever we find ourselves.
Exactly.
Or you can also drop me an email.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be able to respond to you immediately. My email is also very easy. It's just matildegabriel@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Matilde with M-E.
Yes. Mm-hmm. M-E-T-I-L-D-E.
Mm-hmm.
matildegabriel@gmail.com.
Mm.
Yeah.
Now, for somebody who gets to read the book, has listened to the interview, gets to read the book, and still feels like, okay, let me get that consultant who gets me, or perhaps that mentorship who gets me. Can they still reach out to you and perhaps you'll be able to direct them in such a manner? Or those who actually say, you know what, I want you personally to be my consultant.
Well, I've been, you know what happened is, ever since the publication of this book, you get those ones that say, okay, I read the book, but can we do an hour of consulting?
That's exactly what I'm thinking in my head.
I have things. I think I am ready.
Mm-hmm.
Can I want to go to whatever bank.
Yeah.
Can you have a look? I'm saying, okay, I know you read the book, but that's an extra time of mine.
Yes.
So we may work out something to help out.
Mm.
Or I can also refer to them if I know of someone. I have no problem sharing, actually.
Nice, nice. Yeah. I love that. I love that. That which you just said right there.
Yes.
I have no problem sharing. And not just sharing other people's numbers as consultants that can help you, but sharing information, relevant information. You know what the biggest problem that we have? Is that we have people who have gotten the knowledge, the skills, and the experience, right? Went out there to university, went to study, even at FIS, getting their master's, PhD, and they retain information to themselves.
No sharing.
Not knowing that they will die with that information and go into the grave. While as in you can actually extend information to the next person. Yes, you might get some sort of funding, you might not.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, there might be a business person now who's tomorrow going to get the book and or perhaps rely on information that they got through the interview. And then they'll bump into you in a coffee shop accidentally and say, you know what? That interview that other day on Eagle FM, I pitched my idea and I got the loan. And my
business will give me so much joy. That will give me so much joy. That gives me so much joy. You know, it's also the same as in my professional life where I work.
Yeah.
If I am involved in a certain project and I drive past, I get such satisfaction.
Yeah.
I look at it and I'm like, ooh, I'm part of this. Oh, I'm so happy about this.
Yeah.
I was able to, you know, contribute to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just one last thing, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So this book is, it's not your once off read. It's definitely a book that you, it's an investment that you want to keep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a book to buy and, you know, you pass it on, you read, you pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
It's one to keep for when you want to draft a proposal.
Mm.
You go back to it. For when you want to do, to prepare a teaser, you go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to pitch an idea to an investor.
Yeah.
You go back to this book. You want to have a meeting with your bank. You go back to the book because the book teaches you some pointers. It will give you some pointers. What is it to ask?
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of prepares you. It guides you. So it's definitely a resource that you want to have before you submit anything.
Mm. I like that.
Yeah.
And I think the interview says it all. Ms. Matilde, it's been an honor and a pleasure. It's as if I was in an economics classroom. Oh no, you know, there's this much, this subject in entrepreneurship.
Yes.
Yeah. The one that replaced business management.
Ah, yes.
As if I was in that class.
Ah.
Thank you so much.
No, it's good. Maybe I should do teaching.
I think so. Lecturing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
This was wonderful. I enjoyed it, actually.
I did too.
Yeah,
did
thank too. You. It thank was you so wonderful much. To be here.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to have been.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, there you had it. And like I always say, please download the Eagle FM app. You're missing out on so many things. So that if you want to go back and listen to this conversation again, you have it right at your fingertip. And it's there forever. Download the Eagle FM app and get to our podcast session so you can be able to listen to this again. And just educate yourself and tell a friend. Tell that entrepreneur, that friend of yours who came crying to you the other time, how they pitched an idea to an institution, a bank, and they didn't get the loan. Please tell them to listen. And yeah, I'll see you again next Saturday, same time, same place, from 1900 hours to 2100 hours. Life Lessons will be here keeping you company, bringing you yet another insightful and educative, informative conversation. From Indafa, Happy Juju, it is goodbye. I'll see you again next Saturday. Take care.